energy in the arena tonight was unbelievable. It was crazy, and it feels good. You know, we're happy that we're able to do things here in Milwaukee. We're happy that we are going to the third round, and we're happy that you know the people are into it. I don't think I've ever seen people in Milwaukee be so excited about basketball.
What's going on, Bucks fans? We may or may not have been on the mic about 12 hours ago, but the Bucks are one game from the finals, so we got some more Bucks talk for you. My name is KJ Eichstedt. I'm joined today by my co-host, Alex. Alex, how you doing?
Hey, Bucks fans. KJ, happy to be back on the podcast talking the Bucks again. So, you know, we were on here 12 hours ago, and we're back. We've got more to say, and I'm happy to be joining everyone. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, Bucks fans, thanks for tuning in. We're seeing people tuning in from all over the world. You know, people in Africa, just had our first listeners from the Republic of Georgia. It's the homeland of Zaza Pachulia. For anyone who didn't know, he had a couple stints as a member of the Bucks. But really, we're really seeing some love from all over the world, and really we're here to give it right back to the fans and also the Bucks team that's won game from the finals. So today we're going to talk about 106 points, and that's how many the Bucks got from the big four of Chris, Lopez, Portis, and Holiday. And you know, we're going to say like what can we really expect from those guys in game six, like pivotal game six. I know I predicted Bucks in six. We're going to give our, you know, updates on Giannis. We're going to do some more game six talk, and really those guys, those four guys you mentioned, have kind of unique backstories. So Alex, any initial thoughts before we jump right into this?
No, I think just as a group of four, it's like the Fantastic Four. You got Middleton, Lopez, Portis, and Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you would have drawn up maybe at the start of the season, but here the Bucks are one game away from the finals, like you said, with these four guys as their go-to players. So going to need them to perform well. And it's going to be fun to look back at where they came from. So, I'm excited for the Bucks talk today, and always can't wait to talk about game six. So that'll be
the
show.
It's almost like Fantastic Four. It's like Lopez is like the thing, and then Portis is maybe like the really stretchy
Mr. guy. Fantastic,
or the Human Torch, you know.
Chris Middleton's more of Mr. Fantastic.
Middleton's probably Mr. Fantastic, and then Drew Holiday's like, is the other girl's invisibility? Is that
invisibility? Yeah.
So Drew can use that effectively sometimes and uneffectively at others. But if you look back at Chris Middleton's career, this man went to Texas A&M.
And, he didn't really average a ton of points at Texas A&M. That's the crazy thing is leaving college, Middleton averaged 13.2 points and 5 rebounds a game. So pretty raw, and he only shot 26% from three that season.
So this is 2009-2010 when Chris Middleton first arrives at Texas A&M. So think about where you were, Bucks fans, in the 2009-2010 time period. He was there for 3 years. My first exposure to Chris Middleton was I saw him, you know, creeping up draft boards. Then he ended up getting hurt. He ended up getting injured, which saw him come back for a third year. And he didn't really have as great a year his third year. That was kind of like the MO. You know, just like the narrative going around, and he left anyway, so it's almost like he was always destined to get to the NBA. He ended up getting drafted by the Detroit Pistons, and, you know, averaged 6.1 points a game, 31% from three his rookie year.
Only saw 27 games.
Obviously a very, you know, dark age franchise since those Rip Hamilton, Chauncey Billups glory years, Big Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace. He got traded to Milwaukee, as we touched on, and he averaged 12 points a game. 82 games played, 64 games started, 30 minutes a game, entrusted in...
Well, 2013-2014, wasn't that Giannis's rookie year?
It was, and Chris Middleton was 22 years old. So it's like Giannis was 18, Chris Middleton was... Or I think Giannis was also 19 at
Chris
points
Middleton
in the season.
Was Chris 22.
Middleton, he was 22, Bucks fans, and his first in Milwaukee. So think about when you were 22, just kind of what life was like. Chris Middleton was playing for the Milwaukee Bucks, his first year for the Milwaukee Bucks, and he's been here. He's now 29... you know, year two, he upped his scoring 1.3 points a game. He upped his field goal percentage.
If you look
points.
Back at Chris's rookie year, though, his second year in the NBA with the Bucks, his first year with the Bucks, he came on the scene and shot 41% from three. He was 44% from the field, 41% from three, And well, that was pretty good from the line, 86% from the line. So when you have a guy who can instantly come in and drain it like that, he's going to start finding minutes.
Exactly. And, like, that was back when Giannis was shooting 33, 34% as a rookie as well. So the Bucks just had these two young centerpieces. They had Larry Sanders. They had the number two overall pick. The future was looking bright. Year three, you know, Chris averages 13.4 points a game. That's Giannis' second year. Takes a modest step forward. Year four is when Chris really broke out. His third year with the Bucks, he averaged 18.2 points a game. Free throws up to 89%. You know, year five down to 14.7%, 14.7 points per game coming back from his injury. Year six, 20 points a game. Really shot well from 2-point range, 51%, 88% from the line. And 3-point range, actually, he had a pretty bad 3-point year this year. He shot 36% for Chris's high standards. His first All-Star year, 2018-19, his age 27 season, Chris averaged 18.3 points a game. And he shot 38% from three, 2019-20, his second All-Star year. He ended up shooting 42% from three, averaged 21 points a game, 92% from the line. This year, he's kind of in between those two.
Almost missed the 50-40-90. Chris's 2019-2020 season, he averaged 49.7% from the field. He had 41.5% from three and 91.6% from the line. He averaged 21 points a game, 6.2 rebounds, and 4.3 assists. And Bucks fans, here's the craziest stat of it all. That season where Chris almost went 50-40-90, he played 29.9 minutes per game.
Wow.
You have to go back to Detroit to find a season in which Chris Middleton played fewer minutes per game. His first year in Milwaukee, Chris played 30 minutes a game, about the same amount. And here's his development as a player. He went from in 30 minutes averaging 12 points with 4 rebounds and 2 assists to 21 points, 6 rebounds, and 4.5 assists. And in the same amount of minutes. Like, he nearly doubled as a player in skill and production-wise, Chris Middleton.
That's nuts.
And that's really why he is where he is today, able to transform his game.
Yeah, I mean, July 11th is the day that's coming up. 2019 is a very special day because Chris Middleton signed a 5-year, $177 million extension with the Bucks. So he's locked up through this year, you know, obviously next season, and then the following season, 22-23. And then after that, he's got a $40 million player option. We'll see what happens with that. I think Chris is under a below-market deal, you know, for some of his services, his skills. And, you know, I think he's going to re-sign here. But long story short, through this year, Chris has got over $90 million in career earnings. Not bad for a kid from Texas A&M.
Not bad
for that guy on the Detroit Pistons. Really, Chris has worked for everything. So then you look at a guy like Brook Lopez.
Stanford. I was talking about that during the game. I was like, Brook Lopez, even though sometimes you get upset because he may make a boneheaded type play, he played for Stanford.
Well, it's like 2006, 2000, through 2007 to 2008. Think about where you were in your life. Well, Brook Lopez was at Stanford with Robin Lopez. Year one, he averaged 12.6 points a game. Year two, he averaged 19 points, 8 boards. I remember going up against him with Marquette in those years. And just a very talented player that you knew was destined for the lottery.
So in comparison, Robin Lopez was averaging 10-6. So Brook was averaging 19-8.
Well, if you look at Brook Lopez's draft, I believe he went the pick after Brandon Jennings.
I believe he may have.
So it's like, or hold on, that might have been Joe Alexander.
I think it may have been Joe Alexander.
We got to quick confirm that. Let's see.
Either way, Brook showing big time skill. He was shooting 79% from the line too.
Ooh, yeah. That was Joe Alexander year. So that year, Brook's draft, it was Derrick Rose number one overall. Michael Beasley, shout out to Be Easy. Number two overall. OJ Mayo, shout out to Juice,
another
number three overall. Shout out to Russell Westbrook, number four overall. Kevin Love, fifth overall. Danilo Gallinari is still doing it. He was 6th overall. Him and Brooke are in the same draft.
It's a pretty good 6, man. Like, yeah. When you think about it.
Oh, yeah. And Eric Gordon, number 7. Good. Joe Alexander to the Bucks. Bust. Catastrophic bust. DJ Augustine, still he was playing for the Bucks. He was number 9. Brooke Lopez, number 10. Jared Bayless, number 11. So get this. The Bucks have literally had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 of the top 11 picks of the 2008 NBA draft.
That's crazy. Play for him. Like, when I remember seeing O.J. Mayo get drafted to Memphis, right? Or to the Timberwolves. But
yeah,
then
Timberwolves
to Memphis,
traded to Memphis, exactly.
And I was like, to think that he would be a Buck one day was... and Beasley, same thing.
Some of those other names in that first round, Robin Lopez, Anthony Randolph, Brandon.
Where did Robin go?
Robin was 15th. Anthony Randolph was 14th. Brandon Rush was 13th. You got JaVale McGee, 18th. Roy Hibbert, 17th. Maurice Bates, 16th. J.J. Hickson, 19th. Ryan Anderson, 21st. Courtney Lee, 22nd. Serge Ibaka, 24th. Nikola Batum, 25th. Those are two
loaded draft picks, actually.
Both those guys came from Europe. Batum was plucked out of France. Ibaka was from Spain via the Congo. George Hill. Indiana George was 26th overall. So just that was actually a pretty stacked draft if you look back on it. But back to Lopez for a sec. He came into the league. You know, rookie year averaged 15.4 points a game. 9.6 rebounds.
I remember thinking, the Bucks could have had this guy, and instead we have Joel who couldn't even see the court.
Yeah, and Brook Lopez played 9 seasons in New York. Brooklyn. You know, New Jersey to Brooklyn, his first year that they were the Brooklyn franchise, he became an all-star, one-time all-star, averaged 23 points a game, 8 boards that year. Didn't really start shooting threes until much, much, much later in his career.
Damn near average 20 points and about 6 rebounds for like 8-9 years in a row.
Well, Lopez was one of those guys when you went up against him on Brooklyn, like Brooklyn was a bottom feeder because they made those terrible trades.
Yeah.
It was like, damn, this Lopez guy is always just a pest in terms of, like, making shots, making great plays, giving good effort. But he just didn't really have any help out there. So it was great to see him get out. He went to L.A. for a year. Bucks signed him on an incredible deal. He averaged – oh, actually, I was looking at the per 36 minutes. My bad. But he basically came to Milwaukee and averaged 12.5 points a game and started shooting the three really well. You know, in his 3 years in Milwaukee, he shot at the three at about a 34% clip. You know, last season, 2019-20, was his worst year. He shot about 31.5% clip. This year, he's about 34%. So he's playing amazing defense. It's been noticeably better than last year.
85% from the line. I mean, Brook is skilled at the end of the day. That's the one thing he has. He has a lot of game. Like, he didn't even take threes until practically, let's see here, the 2015... Or 2016-2017 season, he went from averaging 0.2 attempts a game to 5.2 attempts. So he was told, obviously, to start shooting threes. Yeah.
Like 5 years.
And he's been shooting about 34% every year. That year, he shot 35%. So Brook has always been dangerous from deep. He's always had good form. That's why he's hitting his free throws. And also beast in the post. This guy's huge. He's like 300 pounds.
Went to Stanford. You know, he's smart. He was getting fired up, so that was good to see.
I was happy to see him go off. I mean,
let's not forget about his defense, too.
Yeah. I mean, Brook, let's see. He's had a lot of seasons. For the Bucks, he had 2 back-to-back seasons averaging over 2 blocks a game, 2.2 and 2.4. So a lot of rim protection, too.
It's just hard to really see that when Giannis is out there making all his plays.
Yeah.
Guy like Bobby Portis, you know, he's from Little Rock, Arkansas. And he ended up staying home to go to college.
Top 14. He was a 14th overall recruit, they were saying.
Wow. And so if you think back to the 13-14 season, Bobby Portis was a freshman in Arkansas, averaged 12.3 points, 7 boards a game. Came back for his sophomore year, 17.5 points, 9 boards a game, 47% from 3. He was gone. He went to the NBA after that. I remember infamously in an interview beforehand to the draft, they said, you know, why should a team draft Bobby Portis? And he said, well, because when you look back at this draft, 10 years from now, they're going to say Bobby Portis is the best player from this draft. So I liked his fire from day one. I was not happy to see him go to Chicago Bulls, a team who at the time was you know, pretty well run franchise right before that catastrophic Derrick Rose injury.
They were beating the Bucks in those days.
They were beating us by 50 in those days. And that we drafted Shadi Vaughn, they drafted Bobby P. And there was a lot of stories circulating that was one of those draft picks that like the locker room was split, the front office was split, where maybe like Kidd wanted someone and then the other, you know, people wanted someone as well, with Shadi Vaughn and Bobby Portis being the two players that were split on. So it's great to see Bobby find his way to the Bucks. Shadi Vaughn, ain't nobody speaking his name anymore besides on this podcast. And Bobby Portis, you know, kind of infamously, he's always a good energy player. Definitely brought skills to the table.
But he infamously punched Mirotić.
A certain someone who the Bucks fans know all too well.
Yeah.
Nikola Mirotić. He's cold-cocked Mirotić in the jaw. And these guys had to be separated. You know, it was like a rift. They end up getting rid of Mirotić. They end up getting rid of Bobby. It's hard to come back from that. You know, one guy
did, though. It's really interesting.
And you have to wonder, it's like, what did Mirotić say?
Yeah.
He probably said some really nasty stuff that he shouldn't have been saying.
I think so, because Bobby's been nothing but a great teammate. Like, Brooke literally said, I love that guy last night.
Yeah, and think about Bobby's upbringing. Little Rock, Arkansas. I mean, Bucks fans, listeners, if you've ever been there, it's a place with a lot of character, a lot of good, you know, people like Bobby coming from it. But yeah, it's
he's a humble guy.
A humble guy, you know, humble beginnings.
Hard worker
and really just giving the Bucks everything right now. Really happy to see him.
I think he took a pay cut to come to the Bucks. Isn't that kind of like the story on Bobby? Like, what was his contract, Cage?
Well, with the New York Knicks, he got a one-year $15 million deal. And obviously with the Bucks this year, he's got, $3.5 million. So he's got a player option this offseason. There's no way he's exercising that. He's probably going to be a free agent. Yeah. And he signed a great deal with the Bucks. He did sign a pay cut. You know, he made some money last year in New York, $15 million every other year of his career. He's only made, like, $2.5 million at most. So Bobby got some money. I think he wanted to win, and he's doing just that this year. I mean, if the Bucks become champions, I would love nothing more than to see Bobby get a big deal on, like, the Detroit Pistons or something. You know, just...
I guess the thing about him is he's shown he's like, a high-energy guy. He might come back, dude.
And Bobby might come back because his head's in the right place.
He cares about winning.
Think about when he was dealing with that benching and just Coach Bud's unique substitution patterns.
He stayed ready.
He talked about staying ready. He wasn't getting fazed by the noise. A lot of noise out there. People trying to get some drama stirred up that would surely...
People trying to say he's trash.
Well, think about this. It's like people are so desperate for clicks these days. Even if their own team is like on the cusp of beating the Nets, because that's when we were. Like the Bucks and Nets are in this deadlocked series going back and forth, trading punches. It's like people are so desperate for clicks. They're trying to stir up drama with like Bobby Portis should be like upset and stuff. It's like the Bucks don't need that on the ship right now.
No, they need
they don't need another mutiny, another drama rift fracturing the locker room.
You need to be
completely focused on beating the Hawks.
Or the Nets.
And the Nets. You know, yeah. They got past the Nets, and Bobby was a class professional. He was not taking the bait. So we just want to give extra props for Bobby and his handling of, you know, media savviness right there.
Yeah, very professional guy. And, yeah, he's having his best year from three with the Bucks. Before,
yeah.
He's shooting 47% from three this year. Before that, his previous high was when he was with Washington, shooting
Chicago.
40%.
Yeah, Chicago, he shot 35% in 4 years. You know, New York, he shot 36%. Washington, he shot 40% after
the
trade.
Bounced around the league after Chicago.
He's shooting 47% this year. So it makes us think that everyone should call up Lethal Shooter, back up to Brink's truck.
Lethal Shooter.
Shoot.
After what we've seen out of KD and now Bobby, it's been going pretty well. Okay, let's move on from Bobby and go to our fourth player.
Drew Holiday.
So Drew Holiday in college went to UCLA, one and done. And kind of,
you know, 8 points,
low,
four boards,
low
four
production,
assists.
Yeah.
Not a ton of, you know, shooting 30% from three, 31%. It's kind of like his he's taken his college skills and like honed them a little bit. Like when he first got to the NBA with the 76ers, he was a McDonald's All-American. I believe he was the same year as Brandon Jennings because we saw him at the Bradley Center a couple years back, many years back at this point. But if you go to his first year in the league,
he was the second overall prospect that year in 2008.
Yeah, he was one of the top prospects. Ended up getting drafted 17th overall in the 2009 NBA draft. And if you look at that year, that was the year Blake Griffin came out. He was dominant at Oklahoma. Hashim Thabeet was number two. James Harden was number three. Tyreek Evans. What the heck has happened to Tyreek Evans? That's a name I haven't seen in quite some time.
Still buried on the Kings?
Yeah, that's a good question. Tyreek Evans, he was on the Kings. Or no, he was on the... He hasn't been in the NBA since 2019. That's interesting. I would expect it different from him.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
he was
one of those guys who
weapon.
Slipped through the cracks. Then he had Ricky Rubio, number five. Guess number six. Bust alert.
Who?
Guess he was number six.
Ty Lawson?
Johnny Flynn from Syracuse.
Oh, bust alert.
Only 3 years in the NBA. Number seven was Stephen Curry.
Wow, Steph. Dude, Jordan Minnesota Hill. Classic. Two chances at point guards. And oh, they don't take the guy who balls out in the tournament. They take Johnny Flynn.
Well, then you got Jordan Hill, Julio. Arizona. Bucks, he made a stint with the Bucks. DeMar DeRozan. Number nine to the Raptors, USC.
That hurt because that was right before the Bucks.
Brandon Jennings, false prophet, Brandon Jennings.
The young
ignited
Bucks.
The Bucks fan base. Could not get over the hump in a tough Bucks era. We had a lot of love for Brandon Jennings.
Yeah, I bought his jersey rookie year. Everyone was hyped. Number three, Brandon 55 Jennings.
Points.
He balled out at the All-American McDonald's game in Milwaukee.
Terrence Williams, Gerald Henderson, Tyler Hansbrough, flat top. Earl Clark, Austin Day, James Johnson, Jrue Holiday, Ty Lawson, Jeff Teague.
A lot of good point guards.
All
that
those
year.
Guys Jeez. Were in the same couple picks, everybody. So when you think about Jeff Teague being super old out there, Jrue Holiday was literally in the same draft. And that's concerning.
That's concerning.
Because Jrue Holiday, he's got a max kicking in.
Well, the thing I was looking at with Jrue's stats is his best season was with Philadelphia. The year he was an all-star. He was... 18-8. That's what he averaged. And
yeah, I mean, early on. And now he's proven he can score. You know, in New Orleans, he put up 21 a game.
Oh, yeah, I guess he did have a 21.
He put up eight assists a game, five rebounds a game, and first-team all-defense. You know, he's a guy who you can play in the playoffs. And he's not Kyrie's offensive game, but Jrue Holiday is a great player.
He is. Very consistent, kind of like Brook around, the upper teams. I think he's got, solid 3-4 more years of this type of production, and that's what Bucks fans should be excited about, is Jrue
He's
is
only
signed.
30.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have him probably through at least
33,
34, 35.
Yeah,
that's perfect timing.
That's perfect timing. He signed two Bucks fans. This window is well open.
Well, Chris Middleton's 29, and Giannis is 26. So you have 26, 29, and 30. That means from these guys, like Jrue Holiday on the back end of that is 30 through 34. Giannis is 27, through 32. Chris Middleton is right now. I mean, Bucks fans, we're right in the championship window.
Who knows if the Bucks can get someone else young too, who is like the young buck at that time as well.
Oh, if we could, that would be amazing. And you know what's going to be interesting, Bucks fans? It's no matter what happens this year, it's going to be interesting to see the veterans that decide to come to the Milwaukee Bucks with a big three fully intact now.
Yeah.
You look at some of these people, oldest players in the NBA.
It's just, yeah, some of these guys who just want to, they're playing to get a ring. They know they're going to get the veteran minimum, or something like that.
PJ Tucker is one of the oldest active players in the NBA. And he's, actively playing minutes. That's the crazy
part. Did he come from Clemson, PJ Tucker?
He was a Texas Longhorn.
Oh, okay.
So that was kind of interesting. That was kind of how he familiarized himself with Kevin Durant. Chris Paul, one of the oldest players in the NBA. Yeah.
Melo, probably.
Melo's up there, absolutely. Trevor Ariza. And these younger guys are going to...
How old is he?
Rise up the ranks. They're going to rise up the ranks in the sense where... The new vets are going to come and join the Bucks.
Yeah, new wave of vets.
Guys who want to play in the, in an NBA championship. Guys who want to win.
Who are some new vets, would you say? New age vets?
New age vets? I mean, PJ Tucker's a great example.
Yeah.
PJ Tucker's a great example. I think you look at a guy like Jay Crowder. I would Jay love Crowder, nothing more than to bring Jay Crowder to the Milwaukee Bucks.
He's balling on the Suns. Game six, Jay Crowder was going off.
Yeah, look at a guy like on the Jazz, you know, their shooter. I think he's Bogdanovich. Ingles and Bogdanovich, you know, they got two of them.
Mm-hmm.
They got Boyan.
Is Conley a vet or is he past his
I think Conley's vet, but okay. He's still pretty young. You know,
is he? Mike Conley, I remember he came in the league
after one and done, you know?
Yeah, I want to say he's been in the league for probably like 13 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyways, that would be really interesting to look up sometime, just like who are these new age vets on the horizon for the Bucks in this championship window, as we kind of touched on. But really,
Kyle Lowry,
I would love to see him join the Bucks. I would love to see him. Backup
point guard?
DeMar DeRozan. Like
he's a new vet. Probably he can
get the Toronto backcourt back together. Because, Bucks fans, you're going to have to let us know if you're seeing this around the playoff ball in the current age we live in, 2021. I'm seeing the mid-range, you know, is like at each bucket is so hard to score. You need to just score them in any ways possible. It's like in the regular season, it's all about
analytics.
So it's like you got to score the right way. Well, now you just have to score, period, because it's win or go home. You see it in, like, the Euros. These teams play so safe because they have to advance. It's literally all about advancing.
And so safe.
How the playoffs are. And so these teams are now like, we don't care what the right way is. We just need to get – if that means I can get 2 points on the low block right here with the killer post move, that's what I'm going to do. And so it's kind of interesting because you see guys like Chris Paul – dominating at his spots. Kevin Durant was dominating at his spots in the
Middleton.
Chris Middleton dominated his spots. Even Giannis getting Booker. His spots more. Booker. And you look at a guy like DeMar DeRozan. He's got a place in a playoff team in the future.
Free throw line. Yeah.
I think he does. You know, and we'll see what happens when his deal
Kyle
gets
Lowry
up.
Kyle Lowry was also very good
Kyle
at
Lowry.
You know,
he was a savvy, crafty guy who just understood how the game worked.
He took it all the way.
Yeah, and this year, you have these great guys. I mean, even Pat Connaughton. He was drafted as a baseball player as well.
Yeah.
Bucks fans, a lot of you might not know that Pat Connaughton is so athletic. He was not only setting NBA scouting combine records for vertical jump, but he was also drafted to play professional baseball. And this guy's just got freaky athletic genes. He's in our rotation now. He's working hard. He worked hard with Kyle Korver.
Orioles in the
year.
Fourth round.
He turned down some serious coin.
Yeah,
he turned down some serious coin.
Wow.
He was a four-year player at Notre Dame. And think about it.
He played a little Class A ball.
We put up the draft second round the year that Pat came out and was drafted in the second round. Pat's one of the more impressive players on that list. You know,
They owned his rights through 2020, the Orioles. Because they let Pat keep a $400,000 signing bonus so that the Orioles could own his rights through 2020 in case he decided to switch back to baseball. That's how good Pat was.
And that's quick twitch muscles. So Pat, he's a guy who's always been competitive. He's outworked guys in the second round to get to where he is. He's outworked a lot of guys to get, you know, to earn a second deal.
41st pick to the Brooklyn Nets.
Earn a second deal in the NBA. Think about it. He signed his second deal. A lot of people were hating on that. You know, he's earned that. And he's a guy who, just by being so competitive, will help the Bucks in their current context of this playoff run. Like, you just need a guy who can go out there and be a dog more so than the guy across from him. And Pat's a guy who can help with that. Al, I mean, I know Giannis is probably not going to play, but he's looking better and better. He was up kind of on the bench, active. Body language looked good. You know, they had cameras all over his knee. No signs of... you know, sheer pain like Trae Young exhibited. But game six, going back to Atlanta, the Hawks are going to give the best punch. It could be that they're out of gas. Keep in mind they are a younger team. They're not used to playing this deep in the year, even mentally. But, you know, what do you expect in game six?
Game six, I expect to be a little tougher, a little tighter. And I think it's, can the Bucks stay close during the first quarter, because there's a chance they might go down by like 10, 15 points early, and the Bucks can't claw back. They don't have the offensive power. You talked about guys getting to the mid-range. It's like, that's evident. You got to have like a spot. Like, Lopez has moves. That's what makes him able to go off for 30-plus points in a playoff game. Bobby Portis, he's kind of tough in the block. He'll scrap in the paint and get you some buckets. Chris Middleton's got the mid-range. But a lot of players kind of get exposed if they don't have that ability to get the mid-range. And so I think if that's not falling for a lot of the Bucks players, like those hook shots that were dropping last night, I don't know if that'll fall on the road. I think it's going to come down to, like, who can really score for the Bucks. I think we'll have, like, two guys rather than four guys show up with 20-plus. And then it's going to come down, can those two guys, like, could one of them put up, like, a 35 or 40 spot? Can we get, like, a couple 10-point productions out of Pat and Bryn?
And we talked about this. Profit Middleton. Is it him? Is he meant to take us home to the championship?
That would be epic. I mean, just think about where that would put him in Bucks history. Like, the last time the Bucks have been in the finals is 74. Middleton's the first one to deliver one without Giannis.
I mean,
it's right there for the taking. Like, that's enough reason to motivate someone to go crazy, yeah, right?
It's like Profit Middleton, I believe, is going to come out and guns blazing. I think Profit Middleton is going to
shoot,
get you at least 30 points.
Yeah.
He did, you know, he didn't quite light the world on fire.
Does he really want a game seven? I don't think so.
I mean, Profit Middleton, man, he's ready to do whatever it takes.
Bucks and six.
Like, he looked pretty exhausted out there.
He was dripping with sweat.
He was Michael Red dripping, exactly. And I think Drew and Bobby, or sorry, Brooke, I think those two guys are going to show up. And I think, you know, maybe...
tough inside again. They realize they dominate inside. One game, they can do it again.
Yeah, like consistency. They're able to putting up two great games in a row. Lopez is like, look,
I've been played 9 years in Brooklyn.
Like, yeah. I've been in the league multiple, you know, over a decade. I don't care which court I'm playing on. Let me, like, dunk it again. You know, it's like, he probably felt great doing that.
He probably, Brooke is like one of these guys. He's like, you know, this is the best stage of my career. Same with Bobby.
Well, it's like, so if you think about Bobby, Pat.
Same with Pat.
And Bryn. Those guys, if they put up maybe 20 points between the three of them.
Do they got to give you more than 20?
You got Brooke putting up 20. That's 40. You got Chris and Drew putting up 30-30. Chris probably put up more than that. I think it was 1-5, 1-10.
I think you got to get at least 40 out of Brooke. You got to get 50 out of PJ Brooke.
You're now listening to Ike Music.
Out of the supporting cast, you got to get 50. So one of the guys is probably going to have to go for 20 to cover for some guy who doesn't really have a good game. Because no one in the supporting cast always goes off.
No, exactly.
And then you got the front two, the road, which you got to go for like probably 25-plus. 30-plus.
Oh, they easily got to go off for 30. I mean, like, I think they got to go off for maybe 70 total.
It's going to be hard for the Bucks to score over 110 again, do you think, on the road? Like,
the good news is the Milwaukee Bucks' defense has been unbelievable.
It's almost like they've like, got a better matchup, man. I mean, they were talking about this. Like, the Bucks now, there's no free throw scares at the end of the game. Without Giannis... like, you got Bobby comes in, it's like a little smaller lineup, a little more stretchy because Bobby can hit the three as well. So it's completely different.
Yeah. I mean, Bobby is, you know, he's a good shooter. He, you know, he's a good rebounder. He's a good motivator of his teammates. But really, you know, in terms of scoring... talk about 110, 120, whatever you need. The Milwaukee Bucks defense this playoffs has averaged 103.5 points allowed per game, which is truly unbelievable.
That's a really good defense.
You know, they held the Brooklyn Nets to those 80-point games. That's the Brooklyn Nets. They held other teams, Miami Heat, Atlanta Hawks, very low. The Phoenix Suns are the only team with better defense in the box, and they haven't really had to go up against the same firepower. You know, injured LA Lakers team.
Injured
Utah Clippers. Jazz.
Then all the Suns, I think, then took on Denver, swept them.
Oh, yeah, that's
injured
correct.
Injured Denver
that's
team, correct. No Jamal Murray.
And also injured Clippers. It's like, man, the Suns aren't ready for this big three, man. You know, not ready for this big three, but first we got to get to the next round. So, Alex, just want to ask, man, any final thoughts as we wrap up the show?
Final thoughts, game six is looking good for the Bucks. I think if Profit Middleton comes out and starts cashing early, there's a good chance the Bucks can hold on tight and win. And then Bucks in six to the finals, first time since 74. Giannis comes back. Bucks win the finals. It's all there
whole
for the
city
taking.
Goes crazy. All Bucks fans just go crazy. Like,
there's not a better chance than this. So I think even the Bucks have to realize that in Atlanta, you know, one game away, let's just leave it out there on the court.
Amen.
No one's going to carry you at this point.
No, you got to go and take it. Just like we mentioned many times, you got to go and take it, and you got to go face your fears.
Giannis is gone. Face your fears.
He'll come back.
No, I mean, like, you know, like Bobby Porter's Pat, you know, like the supporting cast, it's like no more Giannis. You know, everyone's got to go out there and ball out.
The impact of good news was so big. You know, the fact that Giannis was not catastrophically hurt was so big for the team. They were able to come out and fight for another day. You know, it's kind of like they just have to hold the line.
Hold the line.
They got to hold the line.
Hold the line.
Hold the line. And, but yeah, so that's kind of, you know, something to look forward to. I think the Bucks, they could win game six. There's really all the pressure on them. You know, Atlanta's just like fight. Actually, you could say Atlanta's got all the pressure on them.
They've got the pressure.
Either way, the Bucks got game seven in their back pocket at home. We'll see if Giannis plays.
Don't even want it to get there, though.
Exactly. Bucks fans, we want to thank you guys for joining in. Thank you. Everyone, guys, girls, ladies and gentlemen, young, old, joining the show. Number one way you guys can help us keep growing is to tell a friend. Tell another someone you know about the Ike Bucks podcast. Just say, hey, do you like basketball? Check out Ike Bucks podcast. Say, oh, you should check out this podcast I found. It's called Ike Bucks Podcast. Or, hey, did you hear about Ike Bucks podcast? You can jump right into the finals.
Yeah.
Get you right up to date. Get them right into that good Bucks banter. So next time you talk to them, you can have that really good, juicy Bucks discussion. And you're both pretty well informed as well. So I just want to thank everyone. Please tell a friend. Take a screenshot. Throw it up on the story.
Make sure to enter contest for the signed, framed Giannis photo. That's super cool.
And don't forget about that, Bucks fans. We're actually giving away this beautifully framed signed Giannis picture and the certificates of authenticity. It's a $300 value. It's rising.
We may announce the winner next episode.
And that's the thing. You know, we're giving away the winner at the end of the Hawks series. So you guys got to get your entries in quick. Make sure to send Ike Bucks a DM on Twitter. Send Ike Bucks a DM. Chance to win that.
Also, special shout out to the Spotify listeners. We're seeing a lot of growth there. So if you're listening on Spotify, share it on your story. Send it to someone. The link, you know, that would be huge. That's the number one way you can help us grow, is just sending it to someone and, you know, see if they want to have some Bucks talk with you.
Exactly. And really, Bucks fans, you know, this is a completely independent operation. You know, Ike Bucks is...
We've
been charting thanks to you guys. You know, we've worked really hard to maintain independence and just give out true narratives and true facts and true stories as it pertains to the Bucks. To basically combat the national media slander.
We were just like talking about how great it is that we're able to share this type of positive Bucks vibes with everyone.
Absolutely. It's bringing people together. Yeah. You can see it. And it's basically like, you know, we're going to fight for the Bucks. We're going to fight for the Bucks for the little guy, for the hometown Bucks fan, for the guy across the world who's supporting the Bucks, the Giannis fans in Greece, the people in the islands supporting the Bucks. Like, you know, we're going to keep fighting for you guys, make sure the Bucks are in the best light. And thanks so much for listening. Keep spreading that love. Keep spreading the word. And we'll catch you next time, Bucks fans. We're out.
Ideas, creativity, conversation, energy, culture, stories, and more, while you listen to an audio experience unlike anything else. It's beautiful sound that appeals to the senses. It's
information you can use. Interesting guests. Ladies and gentlemen,
welcome to Ike.
Hey everyone, it's Ike here, co-founder. We have a great show for you today, kicking off the first episode of the podcast. KJ, myself, Max, and Chris sit down and we talk big ideas. And we're happy you're here.
Welcome
to Ike. My name is KJ Eichstead. I'll be your host, and we're going to get right into it. Bringing out the heavy hitter guests, I'm here today with Chris Mueller, visionary professional soccer player. What's going on, Chris?
What's up, man? How you guys doing? Tuning in to you guys from Orlando, Florida. All's going well, but thanks for having me on.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Chris, for joining us. For those of you who don't know, Chris was the 6th overall pick in the MLS draft after a long, successful career at Madison. He was the Rookie of the Year runner-up in his first year, MLS Skills Champion in year 2. Year 3, he's prepared to take on an increased leadership role, put on more for the team, put on more for the city, and just continue to grow. I'm also here with Max Drescher, world traveler. Max, how's it going?
What's up, guys? Good to be on the podcast as well. Tuning in from Madison, Wisconsin today.
Awesome. So yeah, those of you who don't know Max has worked in Germany, Singapore, Japan. He's traveled the world and he specializes in finance, in particular, evaluating companies. So it's good to have Max on. Lastly, we're joined by my co-host, Alex Eichstead, co-founder. What's going on, Ike?
Hey, KJ. Hey, guys. Glad to be on this podcast. Happy we're kicking this off. I'm tuning in from Ålesund, Norway, and really excited to talk ideas, stories, and everything with all things Ike here included.
Those of you who don't know Al, he is the executive producer of Ike Music. He's a composer, a designer, a coder, and he's now in Norway bringing up European operations for Ike. So we are super excited to be here today with you guys, kicking off the very first episode of the Welcome to Ike podcast. And I'm just going to get it right into it. A brief explanation of what this podcast will be about. We just want to provide you guys with value. So we're talking creativity. We're talking big ideas. We're talking stories. We're talking branding. We're talking culture. We're talking music. Interesting guests, information you guys can use. There really are no limits, and we're excited to kick this off. So one of the most common questions that we get asked is, what is Ike? What is Ike? People ask us online, people ask us in person, what exactly is Ike? And Al, I just want to kick it to you first. In your own words, what is Ike?
Ike is an international brand. It is something that a community can relate to. It's something that empowers stories, empowers individuals, and as well as creates unique and exciting media that the world can enjoy and spread. So it really has a lot of elements, but more than anything, an international brand.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. So Max, if you were to describe Ike in your own words, how would you describe it?
Yeah, I'd like to piggyback off that a little bit. I get this question a lot as well when I try to explain the brand to new people I meet or friends. And I think that something that's really special about it is that it's truly industry and also topic agnostic. It's like a true creative collaborative that's really open and welcoming of motivated minds and also great ideas. Again, that just doesn't discriminate based on industry or topic. And the goal really is to inspire, but also to build a community of like-minded individuals. So that's really what we're trying to build here.
I couldn't agree more. Chris, what about you? What do you think Ike is?
I think for me, since the day I met you guys, I've known Ike to be something that's always struck me as a global brand, something that's really special, something that's looking to change the world in a unique way. And like Max said, bringing like-minded people together to collaborate and continue to create this type of, you know, this stuff on media, like you say, that's entertaining to all individuals and things that you could kind of bring, like Max said again, the community together. And I think that from that perspective, it crosses so many boards. It crosses through podcasting. It crosses through music. It crosses through all really anything you want in a personal growth standpoint. And from there, I just think it's like I already said, a global brand. So yeah, that defines it for me.
Yeah, no, I think all those are really good individual explanations. If I were to describe Ike, I would describe it as an international multimedia brand encompassing culture, music, sports, fashion, entertainment, and just a brand that can inspire people. When we do everything at Ike, we don't try and do it as an 8. We try and do it as a 9. We try and do it as a 10 to give you guys the best content, the best quality, whether it's talking about real estate, talking about financial ideas, talking about creative, talking about beautiful sounds that appeal to the senses. It could be anything, but we just want to do it right. We want to do it in a quality manner. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ike.